Ohio voters rejected legalized marijuana and medical marijuana at the polls yesterday. Can you tell us a little bit about the amendment they were considering?
Yes, it would have specified 10 plots of land through the Ohio Constitution that would have been allowed to produce cannabis for the entire state of Ohio. That was definitely the most controversial aspect of the law. And unfortunately, I think that's what sank the ship.
At the same time, voters approved an amendment that would basically bar businesses being written into the Constitution like that. Do you feel like there was some broad support going for at least the concept of legalization in Ohio? Where did this amendment come from?
The polling leading up to the election showed that Ohio voters supported legalizing recreational cannabis. They just didn't support legalizing it this way. The way the amendment was drafted was you had a group of investors pool together their money, circulate the petitions to get this on the ballot, and then they would have been the ones to stand to profit the most from it. And I think that's what ultimately the Ohio voters rejected, was allowing these 10 investment groups to control the market once when it would have been legalized in Ohio.
So what message are advocates in Illinois and other Midwestern states taking from the vote?
It's not necessarily a conversation of should we legalize cannabis. The conversation now has shifted to how do we legalize cannabis. And I think that's where we're going to start to look at other states and see what is working and what is not working. I think most people who want to get involved in this business and this industry that's emerging, they don't want to have the same type of barriers to entry like we can see with the medical program in Illinois. They want to have a lot of opportunities for small businesses and for entrepreneurs and not some investment group only type of industry.
So the Ohio campaign did illustrate tension between grassroots legalization movement and the big money influences looking to cash in on legal marijuana. Also this week, Willie Nelson warned that a big marijuana corporate structure, something like a big alcohol or a big tobacco, could be detrimental to the movement to legalize or decriminalize. But it seems like in Illinois, a push for legalization would need backing from industry. How can the two groups work together?
Well, I definitely think that the prohibitionists like to use that scare tactic of Big Tobacco 2.0 and bring that type of illustration to mind when advocating for their position. I think that the grassroots movement is something that has habitually supported individual rights and freedoms and liberties, and something like that would entail allowing adults to be able to grow their own cannabis for personal consumption. It would allow for businesses to be able to be started without needing a couple million dollars like we saw with the medical law in Illinois. I think that over time you're going to see more and more of these states kind of follow the same path as alcohol prohibition when it ended, where you allow some folks to have access to the production and distribution side, but over time you open that up so that other people can create those jobs and bring in additional tax revenue.
As you've mentioned, the medical marijuana program in Illinois has had some barriers to folks getting involved on the business side. It's taken a while to get off the ground. There aren't as many patients as folks maybe expected that there would be. And now there's a governor in office who seems less supportive of medical marijuana and decriminalization. Do you feel like the medical marijuana decriminalization movement in Illinois is not at as good of a place as it was 2 years ago?
I think that the current governor in Illinois, as well as both parties, want to create jobs and they need this tax revenue. I don't think that's a secret that our budget is short on revenue and we're sitting on a piggy bank of potential revenue if we were to legalize, tax, and regulate cannabis just like we do with alcohol and tobacco. However, the nature of our medical program was that it was going to be a very restrictive program, and I think that's why we see very few patients being enrolled in it. And then I believe the barriers to entry for the businesses in Illinois for the medical law were extremely high, and I think that that was something that really took the entrepreneurship out of this law in Illinois. I think that there were a lot of folks who saw the law change that wanted to get involved in the industry, but when they saw the price tag that that would have encompassed, the sticker shock pushed them away. Having conversations with farmers that grow corn and soybeans across Illinois, they wanted to get a piece of the action and they just weren't able to raise the needed funds to even apply for the licenses to be a cultivation center in Illinois. Looking down the road, I think that we're going to eventually need to have this conversation because the state needs revenue. If we were to legalize and tax and regulate this substance like we do with alcohol and tobacco, there would be a significant amount of jobs created. And I think that this is something that should be on the table. And I imagine in the next year or two, it will be on the table. And it's just a matter of, again, how do we do this instead of should we do this?